College Football Nerds here talking Georgia and Tennessee. Georgia's got an opponent that's shown that they can put up some numbers, Josh, and we're going to talk about it. First, giving y'all some homework as we always do, let us know in the comments what you think the score is going to be, and we'll get down there with you and mix it up all week. Second, want to remind y'all, as I do every week, we do a live show on Saturday nights, and whether you were there or not, you can catch the replay. Obviously, it's on our YouTube channel, but we also have it in podcast form. It goes 2 hours. We're talking about games as they're happening on Saturday nights, and we're the only channel out there that's interacting with your chat, with your comments, taking questions, bouncing those back and forth between one another instead of having like a pre-recorded thing. Nothing wrong with that, but that's the engagement you get. So it's maybe a little bit better, more fun to listen to as a podcast since it's 2 hours long. All right, Josh, the interesting thing about this game, I don't think so. Georgia came out, it's like a 21-point favorite in this game. A lot of people aren't going to be picking Tennessee to win this game, but I think that Tennessee wants to show that even if they don't win this game, that they've taken the next step against a quality team, right? Because they held on for a little bit versus Alabama, and then the dam kind of broke. The win against Kentucky is a good one. The 45 points is great, although there's some concern with the 42 points. But Josh, there's been all this discussion, and I took a bit of a victory lap on Twitter Saturday because I've said for about a month now that Stetson Bennett's my guy. I'm rolling with him for the rest of the season. He's my guy. I'm dying on this hill that he is starting over JT Daniels. He is not playing in place of JT Daniels while he's hurt. That's my thought. That's my vote. Georgia fans disagree. Georgia fans also say that they can't win a national championship with Stetson Bennett. I would argue that right now, based on what we saw from Alabama, they may not need that many points to win. But that's a different story. Maybe we'll get into it later. Josh, the question I have for you getting this thing kicked out of the gate is we've seen Georgia be able to sort of get a lead and kind of sit on the ball for two quarters to end the game. And it's baked into our model. Georgia fans are right when they say that. Is this the game, though, where we see Georgia really being more aggressive offensively coming out of the gate because they might need the points in this one because Tennessee can score?
It certainly seems like it should be, right? This is the one game where you're playing a team that has the ability to throw the ball vertically. If you look at Georgia's opponents in the passing game, there's two teams that average over 8 yards per attempt. That was Arkansas, who's not necessarily shown it every week to be that good. Their numbers are boosted by their weaker opponents, and their quarterback was a little injured, and UAB that just plays a different level of competition altogether. Outside that, there really haven't been very many decent passing offenses. It's interesting, Georgia's played teams that average about 7 yards per attempt. Tennessee's played teams that average 7.9 yards per attempt. That's a really high number, and it's, you know, that doesn't seem like a huge difference maybe to some people, but that's actually pretty startling. That they're about a yard per play better. I don't think Georgia's needed to score much, and they've known it, and they've known how good the defense is. And look, I don't fault the coaches for going in every game saying, if we do what we need to do and we don't turn the ball over and we're efficient offensively, our defense is going to take care of itself. We're going to put up some points offensively, and eventually our defense is going to give us some short fields or turnovers or score directly, and we're going to win the game. I mean, that's what the Florida game was. 3-0 with 2 points, 2 minutes left in the first half. The defense gets you 2 turnovers. Those turnovers turn into points, and all of a sudden the game is effectively out of reach. So with that in mind, I do think you have to have a little bit of a different tact against a Tennessee team that's averaging 9.4 yards per attempt, 5.06 yards per carry against FBS competition. That is a higher rushing average than Georgia averages, and almost the same passing average. It's a very, very good Tennessee football team. And I think if you're Georgia and you're the Georgia coaching staff, you're very aware of how explosive Tennessee is. And here's another stat I'll throw at you. Tennessee leads the conference in passing plays of 30 yards or more. It's Tennessee 1, Ole Miss 2, Georgia 3 in a tie for third place. So this is a dangerous, explosive Tennessee team, and I think Georgia is absolutely going to take them seriously and know that they absolutely need to put up some points, because you can't just assume a 14-point cushion in the fourth quarter is going to win it for you. They do have the ability to put some points up quickly.
Josh, I lied. I said they had two pieces of homework. There's a third, and this one's just for Tennessee fans. Tennessee fans, I would love for y'all to let us know in the comments why in the world Joe Milton was your starter coming out of fall camp. I need to know. There's got to be something because it just breaks my brain. During that Pitt game, I was just screaming at the TV, what is going on? Josh, I have no idea why, because they're so good at quarterback right now. I have no idea why that was going on. On the flip side, Josh, there's got to be some concern if you're Tennessee, given where the defense is, honestly. 38 to Florida, 41 to Pitt, 20 to South Carolina is not great at the time. 52 to Alabama, though, one of those was a pick six. The concerning one for me is the 42 from Kentucky, a team that is a grindy kind of offense that did score some points against LSU, but everybody else, it's been kind of that grind, right? Touch on the concerns for Tennessee's defense and the fact that they've been playing a lot of plays in the last few games.
Yeah, so it's interesting when you look at it, because statistically, I mean, they're not doing fantastic, but they're not doing awful. I mean, Will Levis was 7.6 yards per attempt. They gave up about 4.5 yards per carry, about 4.5 to 5 yards per carry to the backs. You love to see better numbers, but those aren't terrible numbers. I mean, 7.5 yards per attempt, 4.5 yards per carry is kind of the mark of competence. I don't expect to see you give up 42 points with that kind of production, especially considering the fact that the other team turned the ball over. So how does that happen? And I think the answer really comes down to efficiency. The last three games, Tennessee has given up 99 plays to Kentucky, 92 plays to Alabama, and 101 plays to Ole Miss. Tennessee plays with a tremendous amount of tempo offensively. This is true. But they're not actually giving, like, they didn't give up that many possessions. I counted it earlier. I've already forgotten. I'm going to do it live on air. This is a terrible idea. They gave up to Kentucky how many possessions? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I usually say 12 is an average for a game. So that was actually a slightly below average number of possessions. The problem is the length of the possessions. Kentucky's first touchdown drive was 14 plays for 75 yards. Their second drive, which was a missed field goal, they drove 43 yards in 11 plays. Do people understand how hard it is to go just 43 yards in 11 plays? And the answer is it's efficiency. It's the fact that Tennessee is not very good at getting the other team off the field. And they had 3 sacks in the game and did not record a single tackle for loss outside those 3 sacks. And it's reflected in a lot of advanced stats. Like Tennessee defensively is 48th in FEI, which is an efficiency-based stat measure from Brian Fermo at BCF Toys. So Tennessee, their defense just doesn't have disruption. That's the best way to put it. The numbers are fine, but the other team is getting what they want to get. And so if you don't get any disruption, if the other team is constantly on schedule, they can continue to move the ball. And you get in this really bad feedback loop, I would say, where you have your offense that goes, you know, your opening drive was all of 11 seconds of clock. And your second touchdown drive was 26 seconds of clock. And then you had a minute-long drive. And then you had a minute-long drive. 2 minutes and 40 seconds was the longest drive of the first half for Tennessee, scoring 24 points, while Kentucky is having 5-minute, 3-minute, 6-minute, and 8.5-minute drives. So that, like, constant exhaustion, that constant inability to cause disruption, I think just continuously wears on the defense, and it allows the team to put up a lot more points than they do. And I'll turn it back to you, because I think the point here is obvious. Georgia is probably not the team you want to play defensively if you're going to face Georgia's strong rushing attack and highly efficient quarterback play with Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, these numbers are crazy, Josh. 5 times Tennessee scored, either a touchdown or a field goal, 5 times in that game under a minute. That is not great for your defense. 5 times. And then Kentucky's shortest scoring drive was 68 yards. The rest were 75 yards, and one of them was 71 yards. That's tough, and especially given the way that Georgia's offense plays, and like you said, they are a pretty efficient offense. They're not a kind of deep shot. Like they can if they need to, but they're more of they're going to get 7 yards a play every play and just grind you up. And that's going to help their defense too a little bit. But the good thing for Tennessee is, and this is why where we're going to get into scores and models, is when you have an explosive offense like this, then you have – it is kind of boom or bust, but, Josh, it's kind of hard to keep them under a certain point threshold. I'm not thinking as much about whether or not they win or lose the game for Georgia, but I'm thinking about, like, Georgia's laying 21. Georgia fans don't want to give up more than 13. Is this the game combined with two things where they do give up more than the 13? Two things at play here. One, Tennessee is going to come into this game with nothing to lose and go for it on every fourth down, not maybe Lane Kiffin style, but a lot of fourth downs to artificially give them drives and production that they otherwise wouldn't have. And two, because of that big playability, we saw it against Alabama, where they would get stuff, touchdown, that we might see a game where Georgia finally gives up points in the 20s. And maybe that leads you into the model.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and get on the model because I do think it's sort of telling on this fact. I mean, Georgia statistically giving up 56% of opponent rushing averages is pretty crazy, right? They take your rush run game and they cut it in half. And going from 5 yards a carry to 2.5 yards per carry is going from a good run game to worse than Purdue, which is 130th in the country right now. We just did that preview for Ohio State-Purdue. The trick is that passing games always travel, and even Georgia's passing game defense, as good as it is giving up 71% of opponent passing averages, a 30% reduction. And 30% for Tennessee is 6.6 yards per attempt. That's not a fantastic number, but it's not, you know, for the first time this season, that's not incompetent. 6.5 yards per attempt can move the ball some and put up some points in a lot of games. Maybe not at under 3 yards per carry, but it can do something. And then Tennessee's defense is very average, 88% of opponent rushing averages, 92% of opponent passing. I always say 90% is usually average for an SEC team because it's buttressed by your out-of-conference play more often than not, you know, like Tennessee Bowling Green, right? So, you know, the model looks at that. It looks at how the teams have done, and it still doesn't love Georgia from a scoring perspective. And I know Georgia fans may be frustrated with it, but look, our model's been pretty dead on, and a lot of people have been following us, so they know this, but I think it had the exact score. Was it the Auburn and Kentucky games that it had Georgia's offensive numbers? Like, I think it had the exact point total. It was like 34 points for Kentucky. You picked the score exactly right for Georgia-Kentucky, and the model has been, for about four or five weeks now, pretty much dead on with where Georgia's going to score on the offensive side of the ball. And I think it's because it kind of sees this 30 to 40 point ceiling and Georgia keeps falling in it. The interesting thing here is it does have Tennessee in the 20s. And this model has been probably a little over generous to Georgia's opponents. And that's that stall factor. It's got the stall factor where you don't get enough yardage to be able to maintain a drive, combined with the fact that they've played several teams that haven't quite gotten exposed in that regard. Georgia's also a lot better defensively than a lot of the teams other teams have played, and the model has a hard time seeing how the other team is going to respond to it. So I don't, you know, like Tennessee's case, there's a game against Florida that was pretty rough, but it was enough of an outlier that I don't know that our model knows what a shutdown Tennessee looks like. And it comes up with 31-23. My personal belief in this game is actually that it may be off more on Georgia score than Tennessee score. I have this 42-24 Georgia. And I think Tennessee is going to put up some points. I don't think they're going to do it consistently. I think it's going to come in spurts between three and outs. I think the average yardage for Tennessee is not going to be good, but Tennessee has the ability to hit some stuff vertically. It's going to be the first test Georgia's secondary has had against a team that has the live ability to throw the ball down the field, and some receivers that can hit you deep. And I think they'll probably get some points just because Georgia hasn't been properly tested. And that's a good thing for Georgia long term. But I think that the efficiency problems that Georgia had, or that Tennessee had against Kentucky, there's no way that's not worse with Georgia. And so I think Georgia scores at least as much as Kentucky does, 42 points. I think Georgia is going to be a little more aggressive in trying to score points and create distance. And I think this ends up being a much higher scoring game. Again, you know, the point spread, if you look at the over-under and point spread, it's about a 37-17 game that Vegas is predicting. And I'm essentially saying it goes a touchdown higher on either side.
So I don't know how much to give the home crowd in this game. And I don't know. I tweeted earlier today, like, if we're going to give credit to Alabama for playing a rival game against LSU, that or Penn State gets up for Ohio State, if the same thing happens to Georgia against Tennessee, Georgia deserves credit for that. Like, Georgia at this point is taking everybody's best shot. They, even in the Missouri game for two quarters, they took Missouri's best shot. And I know it ended up 43-6, and that's to credit Georgia, right? Like, they didn't have the knucklehead game Alabama had against LSU, right? So I don't know how much home versus road splits are really going to matter here in this game. Maybe a few points here or there. I'm with you. I think Tennessee scores. I don't see them getting to 24, but I also don't think Georgia gets to 42 because they don't have to. I've got 37-20. And there's this concern that from Georgia fans, and that's why they bristle at this notion that Stetson Bennett's their guy, or that there's this wealth of wide receivers that are going to show up right come playoff time, and they're going to be a 50-point offense. And we don't agree with that, but we also concurrently don't agree that they need that. And just, Josh, as we wind down, I'd love for you to talk about this for a second, because it's my contention that, like, we have this thing in our head where we're comparing 2021 Georgia and what they need to do to win a national championship as if they are going to play 2020 Alabama or 2019 LSU in the playoffs, and they're not. And the more we see from this year playing out where offenses are down across the board and a lot of defenses aren't looking that great, do you agree with me that, like, at this point, I firmly believe that, I'm not saying they will, but Georgia can win a national championship with the offense that they have shown to this point this year, where they might not have been in the previous year, in the years past, but Georgia fans need to get their head around this is a completely different year and you don't need as much as you might have in the past.
No, I think that's totally true. And with that defense, look, everybody wants a high-flying offense, but the thing that I saw from JT Daniels in that Georgia game was some inconsistency. He threw some dangerous passes. He was a little bit off target. And I think Kirby Smart's very aware of the fact that if you're efficient, if you're not turning the ball over and you're not throwing pick sixes, you're going to win the game against most every team. And you're probably going to win the game even against the better teams in the country or best teams in the country. Yeah, Bennett has had some airmail deep balls. But look, those are just basically punts. What he doesn't want to see is a slant go back for six. And I think Daniels is a lot more likely to do that. As long as you're moving the ball and staying in a good field position, that defense is going to win you football games. And look, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama, when they've played better defenses, all of them have looked pretty darn mortal. And Georgia is at another level than all of them. And so that's kind of where you're at. The one thing that I think remains as a concern is Georgia has a rebuilt secondary. That secondary has had the benefit of playing between a legendary front seven that has been giving no one the ability to, no one the time to throw downfield. They've also not played anyone that has really high level quarterback and receiver play combined. And I'm not saying that I'm going to like think Tennessee can win the game, right? I mean, I think they put up, I said 24 points. I don't think it's going to be 24 points even when the game's necessarily in contest. But are there going to be times where you can see, okay, these corners maybe actually can be beaten single coverage if you're playing a team that has great, you know, really great blocking and you got a quarterback can throw downfield? Maybe that gives you some reason to think a team can score 30. But that's kind of where we're at. And look, Tennessee, I don't think they're a great football team. I don't think they're a great defense. But one thing they bring is the best passing game from any set of home fans. I mean, any set of quarterback and receiver play that we've seen. And, you know, I think that's the thing that I'm going to sort of like focus in on when I'm trying to evaluate Georgia long term.
All right, well, that's it for us on this one. Let us know your score in the comments. Let us know why Joe Milton was the starter to start the year. And check out that live show if you're interested. If you like what you hear here and you want to hear more of it, obviously we'll have more previews coming out this week. But also there's 2 hours of us every week that you can listen to in replay or a live show if you want to hop on at 10 p.m. Eastern and check us out. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week and God bless.